The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
From Chicago, now they're having words. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Houston, so cold in the third, has gone 6 of 7 from this fourth quarter.
Oh, this is great. Oh, okay. This is playoffs.
And it shocked me because he said he looked up and said, "No one can guard me. I got 40 points." I'm like, "That's nice." He took 34 shots to get it. I mean, no, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but I mean, you know, men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't. Collectively as a unit, we've done a great job on them. We try to make them shoot a lot of tough shots, and the numbers show.
Russell, things got a little contentious between you and Patrick Beverley. Can you talk about, you know, kind of what happened there?
Oh, yeah, he was talking about he was first team all defense, but I didn't know what the hell he was talking about because I had 42 at the time. The series, you know, I don't know what he talking about. Maybe he was dreaming of some shit. I don't know. Sorry, excuse my cuss word, but I don't know what he was talking about, but I guess he wanted to be first team all defense or something. Maybe he was dreaming about it. I don't know.
And we are back on the Blitz.
I'm not going to lie. If you get 47 points and it takes you 34 shots, I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with, you know, 51 points on 48 shots, whatever it was. His line last night wasn't that bad.
Until the fourth quarter, and that's the thing.
But even his overall line, I'm saying, even because he wasn't good again in the fourth, but his overall line is still not bad enough that Patrick Beverley should be saying anything.
No,
about
but
it.
From an efficiency perspective, he was worse when Beverley was on him. But there's a lot to get to with that. 713-780 ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. We spent a lot of time on the ESPN layoffs, and we'll keep hitting on that. And just a couple things just as a follow-up. David saying esports is becoming a monster market in the world championships. They should have ESPN should do more of that. They are doing some of that. But I don't think that's going to be a huge – it's not going to save them.
No.
Adding stuff like that, it's too late to save it the way it was. They have to create a new business model. And also, can you quickly explain to me the plus and minus system that you mentioned frequently when betting? Yeah, it's really simple. Like an underdog, if I say plus 125, for instance, if you bet 100 and they win, you win $125 in addition to the 100 you put in. If it's minus 170, you have to bet $170 to win 100. Does that make sense? So
it makes sense to me.
Yeah, the minus is the minus means you have to bet more. That's why when I'm always talking about plus and I'm looking for value, I like to bet on things that are going to get me a bigger return than my investment. And maybe that's just from my old horse racing background. I don't like to go into the minuses unless I feel really good about something. All right, so getting back to the game last night, the one thing that really stood out to me again was – the Rockets didn't play particularly well. They didn't shoot threes well. And this is something that concerns me going into the next series because I think they're capable of playing much better. But both of these teams, and I still think they wind up facing the Spurs, especially after last night. But even if it's the Grizzlies, those teams play better defense, significantly better defense than what Oklahoma City does. And the Rockets missed a lot of open threes. And not just Ryan Anderson, who's been terrible, but the entire team did not shoot threes well, and we've seen them live and die by the three all year long. And here's the other thing that concerns me a little bit. there were some games early in the year, really first half of the season, where they played well enough to beat anybody. And we saw it. They beat the Golden States and the San Antonios of the world. Regular season, but they proved they could beat them at least once or twice. They have not been that team in a while. And this series, they nice win. I'm glad they won. I enjoyed the game. But it was as much about Westbrook, as good as he is, obviously from a conditioning standpoint or something, dude needs some work in the offseason, because the fourth quarter of every one of these games, he was bad. And last night, and I was telling the people I was watching the game with, I want Russell Westbrook shooting the ball in the fourth quarter, because he's throwing up bad shots. He's not getting set. He's not hitting. What did he wind up? Two of 11, I think, in the fourth quarter? You're not going to win basketball games like that. So the Rockets, I think the encouraging thing for the Rockets is they can play a lot better than this, and they just won a series 4-1. The discouraging thing, if they show up and play like this against the Spurs or the Grizzlies, I'll put the Grizzlies in there too, then they're probably not winning the series either way.
Yeah, if the Rockets play the way they played against the Thunder, they can't beat either one of those teams. I don't think they can play the Spurs if they play well. But the Grizzlies, if you don't show up against that team, the Rockets can't beat them. It's funny because at the end of the day, it's a 4-1 series. It wasn't a close series. I mean, the Rockets basically smoked them. But
from a game standpoint,
game by game, it was close. But it's hard for me to you should feel confident after a 4-1 series in the first round, and I just don't. I'm feeling no confidence right now. I don't feel like they're playing anywhere near their best ball.
Has nothing to do with conditioning. Russ is worn out from carrying the team the whole damn game. Isn't that conditioning?
That's
confused.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
What it is.
And if he's not capable of going out there and playing 48 minutes in the playoffs and playing at a high level the entire game, well, that's when you put him on the bench. But guess what happens when he's on the bench?
They fall apart.
And maybe, just maybe, take fewer shots in those situations. But he was, in the fourth quarter, it was predictable that he was not going to be able to make those shots.
And what he did was, the first three quarters, he would get to the basket. And when you're tired, you take jump shots. Yep, and when you're tired and you're taking jump shots, your legs go out and your shots are short or they're off.
And it just his going and watching some of those shots that he was taking near at the end of the game, including that one three-pointer where he's 5 feet behind the line, his form was terrible. That's what happens when you're getting tired. And, hey, the guy's great, and I'm sure Rockets fan doesn't want to hear this, but I think he's a deserving MVP, and I think he's a better player than James Harden, but he couldn't do everything. And the Rockets had guys who stepped up a little bit, and for the most part, Oklahoma City didn't. But was their second leading scorer had, 11 points? Had two guys tie with 11? And
you can't win like that.
No, you can't. I mean, and the Rockets got really good inside play from Nene, and better than he's played most of the season, in my opinion. And they also, they've got guys like Lou Williams who can at least step up. They're not going to happen every game. Williams and Gordon are not going to be great every game, but they're going to be able to step up and give you some points off the bench. But if you're a Rockets fan, be happy with the win, but you need to hope for some better play moving forward.
Yeah.
Let's get a couple phone calls. Justin, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing sports. What's up?
Sports, man. Just real quick, about that clip that you guys played with Patrick Beverley and Westbrook. I know Rockets fan is not going to like this, but Patrick Beverley needs to shut up. I mean, you were getting torched for the first three quarters until Russell Westbrook got tired. He had 40 and was shooting over 50% from the field. I mean, so Patrick Beverley can talk all he wants with his 10 points a game, but he needs to pull back. It's real easy to talk when James Harden's carrying you guys. You guys are going to the playoffs. And no one would probably really even know him if he didn't injure Westbrook about 3 years ago. But, I mean, the Rockets, like you said, it's a pretty mediocre series, to be totally honest. I mean, so going into this next series, they need to either get a better percentage behind the three, but either way, playing the Spurs or the Memphis Grizzlies, they play lockdown defense the majority of the time. And I kind of feel for James Harden with Kawhi Leonard, possibly, if the Spurs make it, guarding him for full quarters. And, I mean, that's going to be no easy challenge. So unless the other guys step up and step up severely, I mean, I think that the Rockets are possibly going out in maybe six games.
I think six. I mean, if the way they've played, six games would be honestly impressive. If they lasted six games with the Spurs,
I think they'll play well enough to win two. But I don't know that it would.
My guess is five. If I had to guess it,
if I had to guess today, I would say six games. But yeah. I don't see it going seven by any stretch.
You know, the biggest problem I think with this team is that they get very complacent and lazy. Like the passes they make.
Well, I've complained about that all year, and they did it again last night with. And they always throwing the ball back to the 3-point line from inside that leads to a layup the other way drives me nuts.
And inbounding the ball, and it gets tipped, and it goes back to OKC, and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to fly against the Spurs.
And I'm not a big Beverly guy, but I'll go ahead and defend him here, because if you listen to that audio, I mean, they specifically asked him what they were talking about, and he answered it, but he didn't answer it like, oh, dude. Yeah, he didn't do it in a trash talk kind of way. He answered the question and said what he said, and then Westbrook responded to it in a more angry fashion. But he had to be pissed. He just lost the series.
Yeah.
So,
which that's a big deal to everyone. Is still he walked off the floor without shaking hands.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, listen, that's sort of the tradition. I guess you should do it. I think it's so stupid. I'm so over the shaking hands after. Like, no one wants to hang around and shake hands after they got their ass kicked. You just took money from that man. You think he wants to shake your hand? No.
It should be
totally optional after Little League.
He had to be frustrated with the way the series went and how he played in the fourth quarter. He couldn't have been happy about that. It doesn't matter to me. And the same people that say, oh, he didn't shake hands, are the same ones saying, oh, these guys are too good of friends off the court.
Yeah.
936 says, let's stop making excuses for Westbrook. He got what he wanted. He had a top five player on his team and it didn't work out. Dude, nobody's making excuses for him. Did you not hear us say that he was crap in the fourth quarter? I don't think that's an excuse.
No.
It's not like Westbrook forced Durant to leave.
Yeah, exactly. So, 832, Rockets 1-3 versus the Spurs, with the Spurs winning all three by a combined 10 points. Why are they a lock to beat Houston again? We'll spend plenty of time explaining why I think they're a lock and why you think they're.
Listen, they're 1-3, just like the Rockets were 3-1 against the
Thunder.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the Rockets are just a better team. Good teams find a way to beat those teams. Spurs find a way to beat the Rockets. Might be close, but 3-1 is still 3-1. And you give me my my choice over which coach I want come playoff time, D'Antoni or Popovich. You can go check. You can go check their resumes. Pretty clear.
And again, regular season basketball is not the same.
Not the same.
And you've got to play the same teams, presumably for six or seven games. And I think. The way the Rockets are playing right now, hey, great that they won. That's not going to beat San Antonio. And frankly, it's not going to beat Memphis. Now, if Memphis goes home and wins game six and then forces a game seven and somehow gets lucky in game seven against the Spurs, I think Memphis would – the Rockets would be – they'd be favored. But I'd be tempted to bet against them because those teams play better defense than what they've seen in this series. And a lot of those passes, those bad passes we were talking about that OKC wasn't quite getting to, those teams will get to. And those will be layups the other way. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. Good news is they can rest up and hopefully get healthy and be 100%.
Yep.
And hopefully they're resting on a mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. That's right. Because all the best people have their mattresses from Texas Mattress Makers. All the cool people, all the fun people. It's where mine's from. It's where AJ's from. And the great thing about Texas Mattress Makers is they have a mattress for everybody. No matter how you sleep, they've got something that's going to work for you. They make them right there, so they know exactly what's in these mattresses, and the quality is just amazing. And right now, running out of time to get the Amsterdam exclusively at Texas Mattress Makers. And they have these coils, and they'll tell you about them when you go there. that makes such a difference in how you sleep. Well, if you want to get the Amsterdam this month, all size sets are on sale, but you want the king size? Price is only $499. And if you want the most popular bed sold at Texas Mattress Makers, the Barcelona, top of the line, unmatched quality, queen size is now $1,599. You go try to buy a bed like that in a retail store, and you're paying at least 50% more, sometimes three times as much, just depending on where you go. So you go to Texas Mattress Makers, they're going to make it for you right there. They're going to sell it to you directly. You're going to get custom fitted for the bed that works best for you. And by the way, if you go through and you want to buy the most expensive bed and they say, no, no, you're going to sleep better on this one and it's half the price, guess what? They're going to put you on that bed. They're trying to get you the best sleep. And that's why they're the best. Number one on Yelp. Thousands agree that Texas Mattress Makers delivers on quality and price. And I can tell you the best. I've got two mattresses from Texas Mattress Makers in my place. And when I have guests stay over, they're just blown away by the mattress. They're like, hey, I got to get me one of those. And I said, well, all you got to do is go to 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
You're listening to The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. You know what matters, AJ?
Soccer Matters.
Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis, 7 p.m. Make sure you tune in for that. Best soccer show on the entire planet. There's not even a second place show. Like Glenn's second hour is always number two in the world behind his first hour.
I agree.
He's the best. It is What Are the Odds Wednesday. If you want to get in, feel free. We can discuss the Rockets. Frazier says, too early for Paul George to the Rockets talk. Yes, it's too early for any offseason talk when they just won a playoff series. When they lose the next series or if they lose the next series, then we can talk about, okay, who are they going to go get? Yes, it's too early. And, yeah, I'm not saying they can't win. I'm just saying the way they're playing right now, they're going to have to up their game in the next round. I think they can do it, but we haven't seen that team in a while. That's what scares me a little bit. Just go back and look at their record over the second half of the season. It was not nearly what it was early. And that team needs to show back up. 713-780 ESPN 713-780-3776 281. The water fountains there must be full of haterade. Grizz take two from Spurs and they can beat Rockets. Give me three legit reasons why that is possible, not just playoffs is different. Have you not been listening? I kind of think
three reasons why the Grizzlies could beat the Rockets.
Yeah. Did we not just spend an entire segment, and like especially
exactly
at the beginning of the segment? Yeah. So I'll tell you what, podcastarena.com, go back and listen. And it specifically pertains to defense. Let's try a phone call. Kevin, you're on the Blitz. Go.
But yes, the haterade here is
defense. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love haterade. Awesome.
I was listening to you, you know, when and, you know, the comment that Beverly made in reference to his defense against Westbrook. Yes, Westbrook had 47 points. He didn't torch Beverly. Because his breakdown against Beverly, he's shooting like 26% one-on-one with four turnovers. You know, he was 7 for 27 on one-on-one matchups against Beverly. So, you know, most – there aren't really just – no one really plays one-on-one defense in you know, in the NBA. You know, there's a lot of switching, a lot of rotation. So, you know, one-on-one, Beverly gave – Westbrook fits. That's why majority, if you look at those games in the fourth quarter, Beverly would be strictly matched up against Westbrook and majority in that fourth quarter. You know, and throughout the game, there was a lot of rotation and a lot of, you saw Harden even on Westbrook at some points and times throughout the game through rotation. But in the fourth quarter, when Westbrook, look at his shooting percentages, in the fourth quarter, yes, it was some tiredness, but yes, it was because Beverly was up in his face and he's up in his grill the entire time. So yeah, it was you know, some going back and forth with words between those two guys, but Beverly had reason to because he know he can get in Westbrook's head.
I don't know that he can get in his head.
Yeah, I still don't. I mean, I think obviously when Beverly was on him, those numbers are out there. He played his worst during the series when Beverly was covering him. But but it's also fair to say that in the fourth quarter he was getting open looks. Beverly wasn't on him. They were just he was just missing. But the reality is, as I said before, I don't really mind what Beverly said. He answered a question. He didn't. And I don't think he did it in a trash-talking, disrespectful way. He just kind of calmly answered it. And, you know, you win, you can talk a little trash. I know you always say that.
Yeah.
But I didn't really think that was, you know. And said, the thing.
And listen, man, I'll say this. If Russ Westbrook has any reason to not like anybody, Patrick Beverly's the top of that list. Oh, yeah. I still think Patrick Beverly hurt that dude on purpose. And that's water under the bridge at this point, but you don't forget about things like that. And you saw a hard foul at the end of the game, and you saw also the multiple, I won't say they were illegal, but very, very physical picks that were set on Patrick Beverly. That's all stemming from that same event where he took out
Russ. He took some shots from them.
Although the last one, I think, by Adams, I think Beverly flopped. Like I watched the replay of it. I think he kind of saw it coming, and he kind of flailed a little bit.
Maybe, but Steven Adams is a big, strong man.
He is also one of the biggest crybabies I've ever seen. Nobody on his team ever commits a foul.
Yeah.
He just, his arms go up like, what? And every single time.
It's funny because he's essentially a goon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically his job, but he's like a goon who, when he does something goonish, he's like, who, me? Like, I would do that? Like, come on. It's very strange.
PDJSE, when we beat the Spurs in the second round, please don't join the bandwagon.
Okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
I won't. I'll clap my hands and then prepare for them to get their heads kicked in by the Warriors. How about that?
Yeah. So
listen, if you watch this team and the Rockets aren't if they're not your favorite team, and you watch that series, no one who's not a Rockets fanboy is feeling great about this team right now. It's impossible to be.
Look, you just won the series. You should be excited, but what you should be focusing on is that they can play a lot better, and they're going to need to. Like H-Town Adam, the Rockets can easily score on both the Spurs and Grizz defense. Give us a better reason. Really?
I saw someone tweeted, it was H-Town Adam, the Spurs can't compete with our guard play. This boils down to, and this is why I'm glad I'm not like a fan of any particular team. And I when I watch basketball, I watch all around the league. If you only watch your team's games, you have a hard time knowing what other teams really are. And I bet you most Rockets fans will say, oh, I watch basketball. But then you say, how many non-Rockets games have you sat down and watched? The real answer, and they might lie, the real answer is probably not many. Because if you're watching every single Rockets game and it's not your job to watch sports, that's probably your limit. But if you're not watching these other teams, just assuming that your favorite team is too good for them, that's ignorant.
And here's the other thing. And just listen, I hope the Rockets beat the Spurs, and I give them a better chance than AJ does. But realistically, I need to see a better team than I saw in this series. And they've got to pass. They can't make the same mistakes passing the ball that they did. They've got to hit their threes, man. They've got to have some games like they were having earlier in the season. And they weren't much better than 500 over the last couple months. And that's where I'm concerned, because I need to see that team that was just kicking butt early on. And I haven't seen that team in a while. Now, if that team shows up in this series, absolutely they could beat the Spurs. I haven't seen it, though.
No. And I wouldn't count on it to suddenly pop up against a team like the Spurs.
So I agree with you versus Spurs, but the Grizzlies, come on, son.
They're not an easy out, man.
No,
they are not.
And they if you go back and look, they gave the Rockets fits when the Rockets were playing well, because they have a really good inside. Now they're missing a key cog there, which is probably why they're not getting by the Spurs. But their inside play slows things down. The Rockets played at their pace in those games, And, man, they get up there and contest threes, and they slow the game down. 713-780-ESPN is your number.
Yeah, the Rockets average 115 points per game. Against the Spurs, they average 105.
Yeah.
Max 104. 11 points game per different. That's a big deal. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, and that's part of the reasons why, you can't say matchups. Well, those matchups, those teams slow the game down against the Rockets, and they take them out of that. Now, I'll give Harden credit. One of my big things was, will he get to the line as much in the playoffs? Well, he got to the line more in this series than he did in the regular season.
Yeah.
So there's that. And if that continues, they should be competitive. But he's got to play more consistently, and they've got to hit their threes.
But Harden, would you say Harden had a good series?
I think Harden did not play as well in this series as he's capable of playing.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Listen, he wasn't.
He wasn't bad.
He wasn't Ryan Anderson.
No.
Ryan Anderson is the Jeff Bagwell of basketball in this town. That's,
except Jeff Bagwell is a much better player than Ryan Anderson.
Oh, but much better regular season player?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when last night was so funny to watch that guy get the ball, and it was like a hot potato late in that game. He wanted that ball none.
Yeah.
As soon as it touched his hands, poof, I'm moving it. He did not want to get stuck with it. I mean, it's in his head. It's in his head pretty bad. But
Man, the biggest thing that pisses me off about Ryan Anderson is when he shoots the ball, he always runs back like he made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey, look, he's capable of he's capable of playing much better, and he's going to need to. But his three-point shooting, one of the things that made them effective earlier in the season, he doesn't have to hit a bunch. He just needs to hit enough, because that helps their spacing and frees things up for the other guys. And if he needs to get going – and I think Ariza gets more open shots if Anderson makes a few. And Gordon and Williams, when they're out there at the same time with him. I mean, that guy needs to hit a few shots. And it's not that he's the best player on your team or even your fourth or fifth best player. But what he does is really important to this offense. And when he's not hitting them, they played their best when they moved Ariza to the four. And he knocked down a couple of threes. But he's got it. He can be better. Anderson can be much better. And I think that's going to make things easier on James Harden. But they need to be, and if he just keeps disappearing like this, that's not a good sign.
It's going to make it tough. All right, guys. Did you know most carpet cleaning companies are actually leaving your carpets dirtier than they found them? That's not the case with Dirt-Free Carpet Cleaning. Get a hedge of clean protection against allergies by getting your carpets, your tile floors, your upholstery cleaned by Dirt-Free Carpet. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with Dirt-Free Carpet. Right now, they'll clean one room free with any purchase. Your carpets are going to be fresh, deep cleaned without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. And right now, you get a free carpet clean in one room with any purchase and a free speed dry for calling. 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5 and get that free room clean of carpet. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt-Free Carpet.
This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Okay, here's the kind of points that I wish you guys would make instead of just,
Pat Beverly's the best and all.
You know, Ben the Skeleton. The only reason I think the Rockets can play better against the Spurs is that because I truly believe Roberson's the best player in the NBA guarding Harden. Has the speed and length to contest or block every one of his shots. Leonard's a better defender, but not specifically against Harden. And that's a well-reasoned thought. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, but it makes sense. That's the kind of stuff I want. Not,
they'll beat the Spurs. Yay!
713-780-ESPN. Let's squeeze in some calls. Is that Michelle? right, Michelle.
Hello, Michelle. Sports.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing sports.
That's good. I wanted to call because I've been listening to you guys. I'm a first-time caller. I listen all the time. And I just want to say I agree with a lot of what's been said about the fact that the Rockets will not advance if they bring the lazy play that they brought this series. Now, when I say lazy play, I mean the very bad passes across the court that could be easily stolen by the other team, which they proved that to be the case. I do believe that if they step up the aggressiveness, go more in the paint, not rely on the three-point dagger each time, that they can put a little pressure on San Antonio or even Memphis. However, it has to be a team effort. Ariza has been basically non-existent in this Oklahoma series, and it's like, where was the Ariza, you know, 29, 30 games ago? Where is that guy? We need him. He's the one that was a big part of the Rockets, you know, blowing out members 130, 120 points a game. And it's just not there. And it's almost like they get very complacent. They get comfortable with a lead. And it's like they just don't know how to keep grinding. And the one thing I do like about the fact that I know the Rockets can beat any team they play is if they continue to press and press. And for some reason, that's been the mindset of the team throughout the years, is that we get a bit of a lead, we're just going to just slow the ball down and cushion it. But you can't do that in this league because when you play teams such as Oklahoma with threats such as Russell Westbrook, those leads can be diminished in a very short amount of time. And then you're scrambling, and then they turn the heat up to, you know, basically secure a minimum 1 or 2 point lead. That's one of the reasons why San Antonio beat us. Not so much that they have a better team, they have a better effect on knowing how to close out a game.
All right.
Good call.
Fair points.
Yeah.
I will say that
lazy passes was a good way to describe those.
Oh, that's the James Harden jumping in the air and throwing it across the court. That's not going to fly against those other two teams. It didn't fly against the Thunder. No way it's flying against those teams. But I think with at least the Ariza thing, and I think you can put Ryan Anderson in the same boat, these guys in the regular season, they were very effective offensively. They were help offensively. I think in the playoffs, you see, and there's nights that are exceptions, and Nene, you know, in game four, he basically saved the day because none of the shooters were hitting.
And I love the way that guy's played in this series, and that's what you need is somebody to step up their game, and he's done that. But, man, they got to get more out of those other guys.
But I think your top three scoring options, and this is what I'm saying, in the playoffs, you limit – a little bit the number of guys who are taking those shots. Like,
right.
Harden's going to take more shots. Lou Williams is going to take more shots. Eric Gordon is going to take more shots. And Ariza and Anderson, if one of those two had been a hot hand, maybe they would have taken more shots than Gordon. Not that, I mean, let's also face it, that Gordon was horrible last night too.
Yeah.
But neither one of those guys were good. So there's no place for these guys taking shots because they would probably prefer Harden taking more attempts than Ryan Anderson throwing one up.
Yeah,
or Trevor Ariza.
But I think part of the issue and why the offense looked a little stagnant was because when Anderson hits those shots and does it efficiently, and Ariza too, they don't need to hit a lot of them. Then that does open things up for Harden a little bit more. And whether he takes it to the basket or whether he gets open threes. And I think that's important. And that's why I'm concerned is because I'm not impressed with the defense that Oklahoma City played. And I think those guys were getting open shots that I think are going to be a little bit more contested in the next round. And if they're not making them when they're open, I'm concerned about them making them when they've got guys in their face. But hopefully, you know, like I said, the way Nene is playing is encouraging. You need those two guys to play much better. And then you can just rotate between Gordon and Williams. One of them just has to have a good night. You don't need them both to have a good night. You start doing that, then I'll feel a lot more confident. But I can't look at one game in that series and say, man, if they play like this, I think they got a shot to win the series. I just haven't seen it. And I'm sorry, but that's But the beauty of these things is they can change fast. And if they come out like they did early in the year and start throwing in threes from all over the place. But my big concern all along was, would this style work in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Work for round one. Let's try Justin. What's up, Justin?
Hey, sports.
Sports to you, good sir.
Hey, I just wanted to make a point about, you know, a lot of Rockets fans, they keep talking about how the Rockets have a good defense because Beverly is playing really well, but he's really the only one that is playing well on their defense. So when they go up against a team like the Spurs or the Rockets, they have more than just one playmaker on those teams. You know, they could barely stop Westbrook from scoring, you know, 40-some points a game. How are they going to stop Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker, Green, Patty Mills? You know, the Spurs have multiple playmakers. It's going to be real tough on defense to stop those players. Even with Memphis, they have multiple playmakers on offense.
Well, it'll be.
Well, I think the question all along was going to be, can the Rockets defend well enough in the playoffs?
Yeah, and I think that's a fair question. And hey, as much as Westbrook was bad in the fourth quarter of this series, he kept him in every single game.
I'd also argue Capella hasn't been bad defensively in this series.
Yeah, well, and I don't think the Nay's been bad. I think the Nay's been solid in there.
He's been useful.
And that I think Capella's offense has been a little iffy here, and the Nay's been more consistent there. But realistically, you don't need a lot of offense from those guys. You just want them getting rebounds and boxing guys out and playing some defense. And yeah, the Spurs have more playmakers, but I'm not going to put Patty Mills in the Hall of Fame yet. I mean, they've got a lot of good players around Leonard. They've been more good players than the Rockets have. But I think the Rockets are capable of playing at a high enough level to win games in that series. But my point is, I haven't seen it. Hey, I guess this is time for a reminder that, you know, this is the Blitz. Get your calls in. We like to get calls in, but let's get the point in quick, make your point, and then we respond. Calls are starting to get a little long, and you can make your points a lot faster. That's all. Good stuff, though.
Yep.
All right. Actually, the calls have been really good today. Most of the texts have been really good today. Even the people who disagree with us are doing it with good points, which I like. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear. Putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool because I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And
to call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty.
And we are back on the Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis coming up at 7 o'clock. Man, Dustin says, LOL, Fred Fowler going grumpy old man over length of phone calls. I don't think I was being grumpy. I was kind of asking people nicely to tighten it up. Grumpy old man would be, get off my Twitter feed, you jackwagon. That would be grumpy old man, would it not? Yeah, and then his next tweet was what was going to be our Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I guess he's got an updated story on the response to this, but AJ, do you like blue jeans?
I like them as much as I like a lot of pieces of clothing.
But you wear jeans. I wear jeans. Chong has like weird pants, so I'm not going to include him in this conversation. But I don't. How much do you spend for jeans?
$50-$60 maybe.
See, I don't even spend that much. I'm in like 25 range.
Okay.
You know, I just go to Academy or whatever every now and then, or Target and just get $25 jeans.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what I would not spend for them. $425.
No.
And I would not spend $425 for jeans to be for fake muddy jeans that are made to look like they're covered in mud. And according to Nordstrom, $425 for these, and they, quote, embody the rugged Americana worker. Here's the description. Heavily distressed medium blue denim jeans in a comfortable straight leg fit embody rugged Americana workwear that's seen some hardworking action with a crackled, caked-on, muddy coating that shows you're not afraid to get down and dirty. Now, apparently some people are ticked because they think it's making fun of the working man. This is a joke, right? One user commented. Do you also sell jeans covered in cow manure? Oh, that must be the new deluxe model. Another said, gotta love being able to look like I have fed the pigs, helped deliver a calf, and get the tractor unstuck without ever having to leave my BMW. So, yeah, $425, you can have some of those.
Yeah.
Or, here's a thought. Just go play in the mud in your $20 jeans. If you want the same look.
That could work.
So, yeah, $425. John, would you ever pay $425 for a pair of jeans?
Hell no.
No. What if you were a rich?
A rich?
Yeah.
No.
You wouldn't even buy, like, some kind of Kanye jeans or something like that?
No. No. If you want jeans like that, why don't you just go get yourself a $50 pair of jeans and just throw them in mud?
I bet Raheel spends a lot on jeans.
Like he does.
Although Raheel's got a baby, he didn't have, and he spends a lot of money on shoes.
Yeah,
shoes is what he spends his money on.
Yeah, so he's probably chintzing out on the jeans a little bit.
I would spend that much for a suit, but, you know.
$425?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spend a little more than that, but.
That's probably about average.
I don't spend a lot on clothes. It's just not, one of those things. Like, I spend my money on DirecTV and things like that. And I just don't, but I can't imagine. And not just $425 for jeans, but jeans that look like they're dirty. 713-780-ESPN. 936S. And if you already talked about the ESPN layoffs, yeah, we did almost the entire first hour on that. So, podcastarena.com. And I think a lot of good comments from the listeners, too. So, worth checking out. 713, nothing says I have way too much money than intentionally dressing like a poor guy.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, how different is that from the pre-ripped jeans?
It's just different. I mean, it's just a different style, I would say. It's kind of like Derelict from Zoolander.
Yeah.
You know, the homeless look, right? That's all it is. Somebody watched Zoolander and said, hey, let's do this. Oh, all right. That was your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Astros down 3-0 early here in Cleveland. But
McCullers, not McCullers-y.
Not a good start. Not a good start at all, but it's early yet. Let's squeeze in one more call real quick before we get to the break. Dustin. What's up, Dustin?
What's going on?
Sports is going on.
Hey, so I want to talk about, James Harden's tempo sometimes. It seems like, there's times he comes down the floor and he wastes about 15 seconds just standing there with the ball, and then he takes the drive to the lane and misses it, and we only get one shot off for the whole possession. A lot of times it's frustrating for me, but, I was curious what you guys thought on that compared to the bench when they come in and they're moving the ball around and getting several looks at the basket. So I'll hang up and listen.
I don't think it's been more in the playoffs. I think we've seen a little more of that. And I think part of that's just been the way that the Thunder played defense against them. But it's not really what they've done all year. I mean, he's moved the ball pretty quickly. But that's playoff basketball. You're going to get a lot more half court. So, and if you're not into your offense quickly and you're not getting turnovers, it's going to slow things down.
Yeah.
So, Brother Bear says, I saw in the news that Europeans are buying see-through plastic jeans for 55 euros. Oof. Longhorn Dimitri, is it me or is Ryan Anderson shots off by like 1 inch?
He's been...
He's been close on a lot, but...
This window, does that mean anything?
Yeah, it doesn't help you at all. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're already 2 hours down, man. This thing's flying by today. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.